This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
You are listening to a Pleasure Podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, it is Friday, February 7th. We are live. And this episode is actually brought to you by you, my listeners, because I did an episode last year with a pelvic floor physical therapist, and it was one of the most popular episodes by far. It was one of the ones we got the most response to, the most questions, the most comments, the most engagement. And so clearly you are hungry for this information, listeners. And so I want to do another show on it with two amazing professionals. So let me tell you about my guests. Dr. Christy Cisla, PT, DPT, PRPC, developed and coordinates a pelvic rehabilitation program in Providence, Rhode Island. She graduated from Syracuse University in 1999 and later received her doctorate from Utica College. Dr. Cisla is certified in prenatal and postpartum exercise and is a board-certified pelvic rehabilitation practitioner. She works with patients of all genders who experience bladder, bowel, and sexual dysfunction. Cisla is a clinical instructor and mentors clinicians and med students interested in her area of expertise. As an adjunct faculty at the University of Rhode Island, she lectures to providers about pelvic rehabilitation and has also co-authored a continuing education course for transgender health, both before and after gender-affirming surgeries. She's a member of the American Physical Therapy Association and the International Pelvic Pain Society, and has served as both chair and vice chair of the Rhode Island Pelvic Rehabilitation Physical Therapy Special Interest Group. Welcome, Dr. Christy Cisla.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here today.
And your colleagues here, and I'm going to totally pronounce her name right the first time out. Let's do it. Also here today is Abigail Mansfield Marcaccio, PhD. She's a licensed psychologist in Rhode Island. She completed her BA in history at Smith College, notably after she transferred from Wesleyan University, where we met, and her PhD in psychology at Clark University. She completed her psychology residency at the University of Massachusetts Medical School and her postdoctoral fellowship at Warren Albert Medical School of Brown University. She is currently associate clinical professor, clinical educator in the Department of Psychiatry and Human Behavior at Warren Albert Medical School of Brown University. Her clinical practice is split between working with sexual issues and working with couples and families. She treats difficulties with sexual functioning in couples and individuals and helps couples and families cope with adjustments to illness, life transitions, as well as couple and family issues of any type. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Abigail.
I'm thrilled to be here.
Should I call you Dr. Marcaccio so I have to keep saying it?
As you like.
As I like. Okay, great. So I'm just really excited. As I said in the open, we did a show with a great physical therapist, Ashley Crew Campanella, and we got so much feedback on that show. Many, many people just saying, I didn't even know this was a thing, that this was like an area of study or a treatment option for people. So Christy, let's start off and just define, what is pelvic health physical therapy?
Okay, so I've given some thought on how I wanted to do this because it is, there's so much to it and I could talk forever about it. So please feel free to interrupt me if I go talk too much because I'm so excited to be educating people about this stuff. So the best way for me to describe it is whenever I meet someone new, they'll ask me what I do for a living. And I say, I'm a doctor of physical therapy. And then I say, I do pee, poop, pain, and sex. And then I have them hooked. So that's where we start talking. And then they're following me around, asking me questions. And so the way I describe it is that, you know, I do pelvic rehab only. I don't treat shoulders or knees. And but that pelvic rehab is essentially orthopedics as well. So it sounds like it's a very narrow area of physical therapy, but it's actually quite broad. So we work with, you know, sacroiliac joint dysfunction and spinal disorders and hip problems. But really, if you talk to a pelvic PT, every pelvic PT has an expertise in the pelvic floor. So do you want me to kind of talk about the pelvic floor at all?
Yeah, tell us about the pelvic floor. I mean, we all have a pelvic floor, but tell us about it.
Everyone's got a pelvic floor. So the pelvic floor is a group of muscles that sits at the bottom of the pelvis. So if you picture the pelvis as a bowl or a basin, those muscles sit at the bottom and they have very important functions. So inside that pelvis, inside that bowl, sits our pelvic organs. So in the natal female, that's the uterus and the bladder and the ovaries and the urethra and the rectum, and they all sit inside that basin. And in the natal male, it's the bladder, the prostate, the urethra, and the rectum. So those muscles at the bottom of that bowl will support those pelvic organs. So that's the first function of the pelvic floor. So PTs, we're all about function. So we're thinking about how symptoms are impacting function. So the next function of the pelvic floor is the sphincter. So what perforates those pelvic floor muscles are in every person, the urethra and the anus. And so those sphincters are like valves. So they need to stay closed most of the time so we don't pee and poop everywhere. But they also need to be able to open so we can eliminate our bladder and our bowels. So that's another important function. And then those muscles also have a sexual function. That's kind of what we're here to talk about today. And the sexual function in all genders is that they aid in sexual appreciation and orgasm. In a natal male, they will aid in ejaculation and propulsion of that ejaculate. And they also, for any kind of penetrative intercourse or penetrative anything, they need to be able to expand to accommodate whatever we're using. And then the last thing that these muscles do that's near and dear to the pelvic PT's heart is they stabilize. So this is part of our core stability complex. They hold the pelvis together from the bottom. They have attachments at the hip, and they also have attachments at our deep abdominal muscles and our breathing diaphragm. So we're oftentimes not just working in the pelvic cavity, we're working a little bit higher up in the thoracic spine and in the neck and everything. So it's a really important area. A lot of people will ask me, oh, so you just teach people to do Kegel exercises. And we are not Kegel doctors. So in fact, that is probably just a very small portion of what we do. So we don't necessarily have our patients doing exercises to strengthen those muscles because that's not always what the problem is with those muscles, that they're weak. So it's a very specific and specialized area of physical therapy. And it's we really impact lives on a lot of levels.
Okay, let's talk about Kegel exercises, because in the sex education field, we're constantly telling people to do their Kegels. I've also heard that lots of people do their Kegels wrong, but Kegel, mm-hmm. Kegel, Kegel is like what we're supposed to say, because it's supposed to like tone and strengthen your pelvic floor muscles, and that's supposed to be good, kind of a good all-around thing for sex. Is that not true?
It is not true. and it's not necessarily false either. I think that it really depends on the person, and they really should have their pelvic floor evaluated if there's any kind of sexual dysfunction, even if it's something that's not a pain condition. So if you think about any muscle in the human body, that muscle needs to be able to contract and relax fully. So I oftentimes use the bicep as an example. So if your bicep, if your elbow is stuck in a flexed position, that muscle is not going to be able to contract or relax, and it may not be strong because it can't completely function. So if a muscle is in a shortened position, doing Kegel exercises is not necessarily going to improve that. So we really need to make sure that we're not just telling patients or telling people to squeeze those muscles when they aren't necessarily in need of strengthening, or they need to be able to relax a little bit more than squeeze. So that's not necessarily going to improve sex at all.
This is like a huge newsflash. I know that people out there are listening and they're going, huge newsflash, because I think that's like what sex educators have been taught is like first line of defense, have good Kegels. do your Kegel exercises, like, you know, like walk for 30 minutes a day. Okay, no, but this is good information, because
let me expand upon that too, because I think that I really want to make sure this is understood. You need to have good control of those muscles in both directions. So they need to be able to not only contract, but completely relax. So if you're going to be doing any kind of exercise, you need to make sure that you have complete mobility. Those muscles can contract, relax, and then completely bear down as needed. Does that make a little bit more sense?
Got it. That makes sense. And what are some of the like common ways that people's pelvic floor muscles can get out of practice, can be atrophied, can be damaged? Like, what are the ways that, you know, lead people to you?
Well, so it's probably easier to describe some of the diagnoses that we may see, that we may come across. So we can treat anything from urinary incontinence and fecal incontinence to constipation to urinary retention. We see patients who have pelvic pain conditions, which could be that the pelvic floor muscles are too tight, or there's some nerve irritation or compression in the area. We have patients who have had cancer, who have undergone different types of treatments and radiation and hormone therapies and surgeries that can cause trauma to the area. Simply carrying a baby in your pelvis can cause stress to the pelvic floor muscles. And then, of course, pushing a baby through those muscles can cause damage. And then there's scar tissue and all kinds of issues. We see men who have erectile dysfunction or painful ejaculation due to dysfunction in these muscles. We have, of course, what we mentioned earlier in my bio, we're seeing more and more patients pre and post gender affirming treatments and surgeries. So hysterectomies and vaginoplasty, phalloplasty, metoidioplasty, different types of top surgeries can even impact the pelvic floor muscles because of the breathing and the diaphragm and the way that moves. So we're seeing a whole host of issues. The pelvic floor typically is impacted with, you know, by being too tight or too weak, or it could be too tight and weak. And then we also see things that happen with the tissues. So women who have low estrogen, they may be perimenopausal or postmenopausal, will have an impact in their tissues. And then men who are in androgen deprivation therapy, and then, of course, patients who have undergone radiation where there's stenosis of the tissues and damage to the tissues from radiation.
Okay, so that's a really wide, wide field of things. And we're going to get into all of that plus more, but we've got to take our first break, people. Let's take a break, hear from our great sponsors, including the Pleasure Chest, and we'll be back and talk all about pelvic floor health. Stay with us.
Is it February already?
Okay, well, that means V-Day is on the way. Brush up on your pleasure IQ with Pleasure Chest's V-Day Q&A. Just follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on social media and ask them anything, literally anything, on oral, anal, BDSM, and making out. Surprise your sweetheart with some new pleasure tips, toys, and tricks. And don't forget, there's lots of ways to turn your love, lust, and passion into the perfect present. Heat up your V-Day and get closer with their curated couples kits.
receive a free gift, the exclusive WeVibe toy bag with all WeVibe toy purchases in stores and online through February 11th while supplies last. Are you maybe a last minute lover? Not to worry. Pleasure Chest is offering free two-day shipping February 6th through the 10th so you can get it in time for V-Day. No time to wrap? Get your love on the run with their pre-wrapped couples kits available through Valentine's Day. You can find all of this and more at pleasurechest.com.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, you know what's 1 week away? You may be thinking the apocalypse or the end of the world. I think we have a little bit more time than that. It's actually Valentine's Day, which is busy season for sex educators. If you are looking for the perfect Valentine's Day gift for you, your sweetie, your sweeties, plural, look no further than WeVibe. WeVibe creates some of my favorite sex toys, which, in case you want to buy me a Valentine's Day gift, are the Tango, the Moxie, the Ditto, and the Wand. Also, if you have multiple partners, WeVibe literally has a toy for everyone. They use state-of-the-art technology, and they are not just sort of slapping that wordage on their packaging. They actually back it up. They've got these squeeze remotes, and they have these seamless intensity controls that allow you to quickly and easily control all of their different toys. If you're ever long distance from your partner, there is nothing better than their WeConnect app. The WeConnect app lets your partner connect to your vibrator from anywhere in the world, allowing you both to enjoy long distance intimacy. Their products are made using exclusively body-safe materials, and they're extensively tested. They're designed for and inspired by real bodies, real connection, and pure pleasure. Have you seen the Wand by WeVibe? It's a cordless style wand vibrator that will just rock your world. It's got this seamless intensity control that can take you from 0 to 100 or wherever you want to stop in between with just one touch. And the one touch control acts like a dimmer switch. So it keeps you in the moment and you're not like fumbling with like, press the up button, press the down button. Where's the down button? Where's the up button? We've all been there. And then this smart science silence technology senses when the wand is close to you and turns the vibrations on when you're ready to go. And it turns them off as soon as you're ready to stop. So that's another great thing. You don't have to then fumble with more buttons when you're done. I also happen to love the ergonomic design, and it has these very unique attachments that come with it. Plus, it also works with that great app. This Valentine's Day, they are offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special 5% discount on any product at we-vibe.com. Just use promo code Tristan at we-vibe.com. That's code Tristan, we-vibe.com. Happy early Valentine's Day to everyone. Go get yourself a WeVibe. I'm back today talking with my two guests, Dr. Abigail Mansfield Marcaccio and Dr. Christy Cisla, and we are talking all about our pelvic floor. Okay, so before the break, you went through kind of a number of different things that pelvic floor PT can treat. There's this long list that I've seen. You know, I've done research on this and I've seen it on the website of the place that you work at. But one thing that I didn't see on the list that I wanted to ask you about specifically is I didn't see vaginismus or vulvodynia. Mm-hmm. So there is a category there just called pelvic pain. Do those things fall under pelvic pain or do you consider them different and separate?
They do. So when we designed our list, they needed us to kind of narrow it down. As you heard, it is a lot. and I didn't even touch upon many, many things. So included in pelvic pain would be things like vulvodynia and vaginismus and dyspareunia, whether it be dyspareunia is another fancy term for painful intercourse, and that could be caused by either one of those things. Also, any of the neurologists like pudendal, ilioinguinal, genitofemoral, or iliohypogastric neurologists, there could be any kind of trauma that can cause pelvic pain. There's lots of different things that are that go along with that. So it was just too much to list. So pelvic pain in general, I mean, even things like interstitial cystitis are included in that.
So I just taught this great class on perimenopause, menopause, and pleasure in Albuquerque, New Mexico with my dear friend, Elle Chase. It was really great. We taught it at self-serve. So there was a ton of engagement. People were really hungry for information, talking about pleasure. And a big thing that came up and continues to come up just when I talk to people casually about this is painful penetration, mm-hmm. especially as we age and especially as our hormones begin to fluctuate. We know that as our levels of estrogen go down, the tissue of the vagina and the vulva can thin. It can become less resilient, less elastic, and that can contribute to kind of these pain things. And I feel like, truthfully, a lot of people have told me the story of going to their gynecologist and saying, I'm having pain with penetration, and they basically say, use lube. And I love lube. Lube rocks my world, and I use lube for every kind of sex there is. But I feel like it seems like a real quickie answer that doesn't always fix the problem.
Mm-hmm. Are you asking like what we would do to address?
What do you do when people are experiencing pain? And for example, lube is not necessarily solving the problem entirely.
So I think it really depends on the person. So we'll do an exam. Oftentimes you have to think that, you have to understand that women have carried babies in their pelvises. And then as these tissues change, if they've had vaginal birth, for example, the things that happened years ago in their lives are now rearing their ugly heads later in life as they start to experience a change in tissues. So we're treating things for the first time that probably should have been treated years ago, like scar tissue restrictions that really start to cause a problem later in life. So, assessing and evaluating the pelvic floor, there's a different story for every patient. There could be a woman who hasn't been sexually active in years and now has found a partner, 10 years later and hasn't really had any penetrative intercourse and now wants to. So,
That exact woman was in our class, by the way.
Okay.
So, and like one of the things she said was she raised her hand and said, I'm widowed. And so I haven't had intercourse in 8 years. I've met someone and I was, feeling really good and ready to have sex again. And oh my God, it really hurt. And my first thought was, wait, but you haven't had penetration in 8 years.
Of course,
like you can't go back back to 100.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, in that case, I'm anticipating in my interview of that patient that there's going to be some tension of the muscles and they're not going to be working as well as they once did. And so we're going to work on coordination and then maybe some manual therapy and helping those muscles move a little bit better. So if they're tight, we'll do some, trigger point releasing and some soft tissue work to help to change the activation pattern of those muscles and be able to get them to move a little bit better. And if that alone doesn't work and they're really, the tissue atrophy is really a significant factor, that's when we'll work with, the medical community and say, hey, like I have a really great relationship with my referral sources. So I might say, what do you think about some vaginal esterase for this woman to help with
estrogen,
the tissues?
Right.
Right. And that's my favorite because it's estradiol and if we're using the cream, then it's a better dosage for the tissue than just using a tablet. And also you have more control, so you can put it on the outside at the vulva. So if there's any tearing during intercourse, then that can really make a big difference. So oftentimes that works out really well. If the patient isn't a candidate for estrogen, vaginal estrogen, which is really quite rare, but it does happen for
maybe a history of cancer or something, mm-hmm. or they're in treatment or something, then we can recommend different types of vaginal moisturizers that can really make a big difference as well. So I would say that it's kind of like a collaboration, and we're multidisciplinary approach at that point. But I would say pelvic, I mean, I'm biased, but I think that pelvic PT can really work wonders.
Abigail, this also brings you into the conversation, which I felt like so many of the people that we talked to reported these particular physical symptoms around their aging bodies or around like perimenopause or postmenopause. But then when you dug deeper, there are also issues layered on top of that that are beyond the physical. I mean, is that kind of some of the stuff that you see in your office when people come to you to talk specifically about sex stuff?
Absolutely. We see all kinds of issues. And one of the more common ones is exactly what you're talking about, which is I'm getting older. My sexual response isn't what it used to be when I was in my 20s. Right. We age. Things change. That does not mean in any way that you can't continue to enjoy sex. What it means is that you might have to find different ways to enjoy sex. And figuring out what that is for you is sort of part of the work. And one of the biggest things that I really like to kind of reframe and move away from with folks that I work with is this idea that only penis inside of vagina sex is real sex.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
There's a whole world out there. And let's just step back from the genitals for a minute and talk about what you like.
I think that's a hard reframe for a lot of people. You know, I want everyone to stop thinking about sex that way. Maybe it's my life's work. But it can be hard. And one of the things that I found in talking to people is many women have said, you know, my body worked a certain way and I knew what it liked. I knew how to get turned on. I knew how to get off. And now it's not doing that. And it's almost as if like they're not ready to confront the grief of who they were.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think that certainly can be true, you know, that there's grief involved in aging and change and there's loss there. And I think also that if we can generate some curiosity about, okay, so you don't respond or experience sensation the same way that you did when you were younger, but can we get curious about how you do experience it now and what does feel good now and what does work now?
Yeah, I think that can feel scary to people, right? People can feel very vulnerable about starting over, right? To become sexually curious about yourself in middle age.
It can be very scary, but it's also an opportunity, and it can be a lot of fun.
I also think that fear plays a huge role in things too, because if you think about pain and the nervous system, if you experience pain once, then you're constantly thinking about that. So, you know, a lot of, and this is where I think Abigail and I work really well, and like we kind of overlap is, you know, I'm talking to my patients about using things like vaginal dilators to help with them. And I don't think of the vaginal dilator so much as a stretching mechanism as much as it is getting yourself used to being able to approximate that area of your body again and be comfortable with it and not be fearful of it. And so sometimes I'll spend almost an entire session with a patient just with my finger, not even inside, but just at the opening and say, like, this is normal. This is not an area that is painful normally, and it's not painful on you normally. It's just that you experienced pain in the past, you know, and so we work on, you know, associating that area of the body with pleasure, and we talk about masturbation and toys, and that's their homework. Go home and masturbate.
And you know, what you just described, Christy, is a form of exposure therapy. And if we can hang our hat on one thing for anxiety that we know works really well, it's exposure. So you want to start where people are at, start where they're comfortable enough, and make it less scary by doing it until it's less scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, we got to take another break. Totally agree with all that. But Andrew is up my butt saying, hey, you're over time. That's quite frankly, that's what he is in my DMs. Okay, Andrew, we're going to take a break. We're going to hear from our sponsors and we'll be back soon.
Hi, everyone. Tristan here. Hey, lube makes everything better. Duh. And I mean everything. Vaginal and anal penetration, hand jobs, hand sex, masturbation, fingering, grinding, oral sex. You name it, lube will improve it. When you're choosing a lube, you want one with high quality ingredients. UberLube is silicone with a little vitamin E. That's it. No parabens, no petrochemicals, no strange things you can't pronounce. I have a very sensitive pussy, and that is not a metaphor. It's easily irritated, and plenty of lubes I've tried just do not agree with me. I like UberLube because it's scent-free, flavorless, simple ingredients, and long-lasting. Plus, it's got a pump, which is easy to use and hygienic because you're not always touching the top of it. Oh, and it will not stain clothing or bedding. Any spills can be cleaned up with detergent and water. Right now, UberLube is offering Sex Out Loud listeners a special offer. 10% off and free shipping when you use my code Tristan at UberLube.com. That's 10% off and free shipping. Just use code Tristan at UberLube, UberLube.com. UberLube lets you feel what you want to feel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com. You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we're talking about pelvic health, which, by the way, is for all genders because we all have a pelvic floor. And I'm talking today with Abigail Mansfield Marcaccio and Christy Cisla. So Christy and Abigail, one thing I wanted to ask you about is also incontinence. So I never, ever, ever used to have a problem sneezing or coughing. And now that I'm postmenopausal, when I sneeze or cough, I definitely pee a little. And it's like totally, unless I've just emptied my bladder, it happens. And then I'm like, oh, damn. Like, oh, I need to get those underwear so that I don't have to change my underwear. But that can also be an issue for sex, that people can be anxious about even sort of infrequent incontinence, right?
Definitely. When I treat patients who have incontinence, I mean, again, the pelvic floor really needs to be evaluated because you don't know if the pelvic floor is lax or if it's tight, because it could be either one. But either way, if you're experiencing urinary leaking, you're not going to want to have sex. I always say to my patients, who wants to have sex when you're peeing your pants? You know, because you're constantly thinking about it. So for women who are experiencing, for example, pelvic organ prolapse, where their bladder's falling backward into the vaginal canal, particularly after menopause, this is a big issue. And they're having penetrative intercourse and something is approximating the bladder and causing them to leak, it's a major problem. And they just avoid it altogether. They stop having sex completely. And then for men who are a little bit older that may have had a prostate surgery, and every time they ejaculate, they leak, it's really devastating for them. So we work on first letting go some of that fear and apprehension about sex, and then learning how to then gain control. And then also just, you know, and this is kind of where the psychology comes in, like teaching them that you can function again after all of these things. So,
right. Well, and I would think also, Abigail, wouldn't it be important for people to also kind of let go of some of their hang-ups, for lack of a better word, you know, like put a towel underneath you, like I don't care if you pee on me.
Mm. Yeah.
Well. So this is where I absolutely love working with couples, because if you have a partner who is supportive, it makes a world of difference. And I have had couples in my office where we talk about this very issue, thinking in particular right now of couples where a man has had prostate cancer, and despite all of the pelvic floor work and all of the resources available, there is still leakage, and it happens during sex. And there is something very powerful about being in a room and having a man say that out loud, because he kind of assumes a lot of times that everybody knows, but he hasn't made what is implicit explicit and just said it out loud. And then having a partner say, it really isn't that big of a deal. Mm. We have towels. It's fine. I'd much rather have intimacy and be connected than skip it because we're afraid of a little urine.
Right. Right. And this goes back to the very basics of the shame about our bodies, the conversations we are not having about them and about our sexuality and about our bodily fluids. It's still steeped in so much shame and silence. And I feel like it keeps people from being able to find pretty workable solutions to these things.
Totally. Agree 100%. And anything that we can do to help people feel more at ease and comfortable with what's going on and to kind of take away that shame is huge.
I think that's the reason why people aren't accessing services too. And, you know, they're just not able to talk about these things with their providers. So we're pretty fortunate when we get them in the room. But, and I think that there's also a lack of education on the provider part too. So, which is,
because why is it that people still don't know that you exist?
I have a lot to say about that.
You know what I mean? No, I it's true. Like I'm when I tell people like, oh, this is a thing, their minds are blown and exploded. Yeah. And they're like, why did my gynecologist not tell me this? Why didn't my GP tell me this? Why didn't my urinary person tell me this? You know, it's like, why is this a secret?
This is my thing. Like, this is what I've done. This is my life's work, is just getting the word out there. And so I think that part of it is that, yeah, there's not enough information out there for whatever reason. Like, providers don't know. So I spend a lot of time teaching medical professionals. And so I'm very fortunate in my work to have access to the medical students and medical residents and then providers. But if I stand up in front of a group of medical providers, the first thing I say is, who's heard of pelvic PT? And, you know, we'll get a bunch of hands raised and how many of you refer? And then maybe, you know, a few hands will be raised. And I say, how many of you know what goes on behind closed doors? And nobody has any idea what we do. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think that they really completely understand what's going on. I don't think that they understand our level of education and that we are able to differentially diagnose. So they're just thinking, okay, this patient wants a quick fix. We're going to send them for the meds. We're going to send them for these invasive testing. We're going to perform a surgery or a small technique. And they think they're going to make the patient happy and send them on their way. And when it doesn't work and they go through years and years and years of dysfunction, they finally have a friend or they end up on a forum that says, oh, go to pelvic PT, you know, and then they end up asking their provider about it. So my life's work is trying to stop that process. And by saying to them, hey, here's a conservative approach. We're trained to differentially diagnose. We know when something is not musculoskeletal or neuromuscular in origin, and we can send them back to you. But send them to us because we spend 45 minutes to an hour and a half with them once a week, listening to their most intimate issues with our hands on their bodies. So we will be able to communicate with you effectively, you know, but it's still my biggest pet peeve when I have a patient walk in, you know, 10, 12 years after, you know, starting with pelvic pain and finding pelvic PT for the first time. It's just awful. So.
And there are these professional organizations, like people, you can Google this and find professional organizations and then, you know, click the button that says find a PT, a certified PT in your area. So I also really tell people that if your gyno hasn't recommended this or your healthcare provider hasn't recommended or doesn't know about this, you need to do a little bit of homework on your own and you need to be your best advocate for this. You really do. The same thing happened with me and my gynecologist, who's like, I don't know anything about bioidentical hormones. And so I don't know what you're talking about. I don't really do that. I just do the regular stuff. And I was like, okay, but this is what I want. And so I'm going to bring you some info and then you're going to write the prescription basically. because and there's have to be back and forth dialogues, but I think it's hard to be in the room with the person who you believe has the expertise and more information than you do. We as people can also go out there and get information. I just think that's so important.
And I am willing to disclose on air that the way that I met Christy was that I was one of her patients. And I,
oh my God. I didn't know his backstory. Oh my God. It just got there. Okay, go ahead.
Right. So I have had 3 kids. And after my first birth, I knew something was not right. I was like, I think I have prolapse. I don't think that things are where they're supposed to be. So I went into my OBGYN and I said, this is what I think is happening. And she checked me out. She did an exam and she said, you're right. And she gave me a pessary, which helped. But at that time, nobody was A pessary is a little device that goes inside the vagina that helps to hold things in place. Okay. So I had one that looked kind of like a donut, and it was actually really helpful. But at that time, nobody was really talking about pelvic PT. And by the time I had my third birth, people were starting to talk about it a little bit. And so I found Christy, and I got myself in there, and it made a huge difference preparing for my third birth and recovering from it. So I definitely want to put in a plug for being your own advocate and knowing your body and asking for what you need.
I love this story, and I'm going to ask a million questions, but we have to take another break. I love that story. Okay, so before we go to break, I want to remind people it is Valentine's Day season, so you're probably hearing and seeing a lot of ads for sex toys, but they are not all the same. I've been in the sex ed business for decades, and everyone knows that WeVibe creates the world's best vibrators. Their flagship product revolutionized the wearable vibrator, and it changed the way that people have sex. And they just launched a brand new vibrator called Chorus. Chorus is the most intuitive couples vibrator by WeVibe ever. Listen, they're marketing it as a couples vibrator because it is wearable. But I'm here to say you can use this by yourself with a partner or multiple partners. Of course, we know it's waterproof, body safe, rechargeable. But like several of the companies designed, it's got that C shape for dual stimulation. It can be worn during penetration. One part goes inside to vibrate against the G-spot, and the other part of the C hugs the vulva and clitoris on the outside of the body. But the Chorus is different from some of the others because it has an adjustable fit so that you don't have to line up exactly with whatever the toy is like made to fit. And if your body doesn't fit that, you're sort of out of luck. Plus, they've got a squeeze remote. It's designed with this sort of human response in mind. So the tighter you squeeze it, the stronger the vibration gets, and vice versa. Again, no fiddling with buttons. So if you want a little bit more stimulation or you want a little bit less, it's right there and it's intuitive. And it also senses vibrations with your movements. So when you touch or move against the sensor, the vibration shifts in intensity and creates a kind of natural rise and fall, which is really cool on your way to hopefully an orgasm. It also works with the WeConnect app, which lets you play together even when you're apart, which I love so much. And their special deal applies to the Chorus and every toy on their website. They're offering Sex Out Loud, you guys, listeners, a 5% discount on any product. Just go to their website, we-vibe.com. Use promo code Tristan. Hopefully you've learned by now that if you just go to a website, you should put in my name and see if you get a discount, because you just might. So it's we-vibe.com. The code is Tristan. Get yourself one. Get all your loved ones one. It's a great toy. Stay with us. We'll be back after these messages.
Is it February already? Okay, well, that means V-Day is on the way. Brush up on your pleasure IQ with Pleasure Chest's V-Day Q&A. Just follow at Pleasure Chest Stores on social media and ask them anything, literally anything, on oral, anal, BDSM, and making out. Surprise your sweetheart with some new pleasure tips, toys, and tricks. And don't forget, there's lots of ways to turn your love, lust, and passion into the perfect present. Heat up your V-Day and get closer with their curated couples kits. Receive a free gift, the exclusive WeVibe toy bag with all WeVibe toy purchases in stores and online through February 11th while supplies last. Are you maybe a last minute lover? Not to worry. Pleasure Chest is offering free 2-day shipping February 6th through the 10th so you can get it in time for V-Day. No time to wrap? Get your love on the run with their pre-wrapped couples kits available through Valentine's Day. You can find all of this and more at pleasurechest.com.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I keep forgetting to tell you what the phone number is, but you know you can always call me, right? 323-SEX-8266. 323-SEX-8266. We've been talking all about pelvic floor health and physical therapy with Dr. Christy Cisla and Abigail Mansfield Marcaccio. So I love that you came out, first of all, Abigail, before the break. That was really sweet. But what it also signified for me is just that we need to tell our stories to destigmatize this. Mm. You know, that we really, and I think we also have to, there's something about pelvic floor physical therapy for me, which begins to touch on this taboo around like genital touch as part of treatment. In other words, I feel like, you know, one of the things I hate about going to the gynecologist is like, you're going to undress, but not in front of me. And you're going to put this thing between you and me. And, you know, there's all these weird things to sort of sterilize the environment, not literally, but figuratively. And also to kind of like cut me off from my own pussy, essentially. So I feel like the other thing that I think freaks people out about pelvic floor physical therapy is that someone might have to touch your genitals and that you then might have to go home and touch your own genitals as homework. And yep. That still is anxiety producing for people, especially mm-hmm. people assigned female at birth.
Yes. It's a hard sell, but if I can get them in the room, then I can explain to them, number one, that they always have complete control over what goes on in this room. So that's the first thing that I explain. And that we don't have to do internal work, although I may recommend it as the best line of treatment. There's other ways to approach the pelvic floor without doing internal work. But that it's just extremely important to understand that this area of your body, although you associate it with sex and good or bad or whatever it is really just another group of muscles that needs to be treated just like if you hurt your back or your knee or whatever. And so oftentimes that makes a big difference. So I spend a lot of time doing education with pelvic models. I would say I probably do in the first visit a good half hour of education before I even put my hands on someone. So it makes a big difference. I rarely have an issue, but if I do, then I spend a few sessions without doing anything, you know, too invasive. And usually that can build trust and rapport. And then they're like, yeah, no, I need to fix this problem. I want you to fix this problem. And by the time they get to us, they're dying to have help at this point, you know? So a lot of times we do have pretty good compliance with it.
And I think it's important, especially if any of these issues arise from trauma, and many, many, many women are survivors of sexual trauma and people of all genders,
yep.
that you don't want to re-traumatize someone, obviously,
right?
Physically or psychologically. So there has to be a kind of a delicate balance there and a sense of, you know, consent at all times. And, but I think just the idea of it can scare people off. Right. Mm-hmm. There has to be a way that we can talk about this and then say, let's be able to like look at our genitals and have someone else look at your genitals with that, not this GYN situation, and not be afraid of it. I feel like we're going back to fear here, and fear of the vulva and fear of the vagina. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's like harming people.
I mean, think about how many people have had a traumatic pelvic exam too. So,
oh yes.
You know, and that's another thing, you know, so they're expecting the same thing. And I have to explain to them, like, you're not going to be on stirrups. You're going to be laying on a comfortable table in a comfortable, quiet, safe room with pillows. And it's just going to be, you know, the two of us, and you're not going to be wearing this like weird, awkward gown. And you know what I mean? It's going to be a much more comfortable position, and I'm not going to ask you to push your ass into my face. You know what I mean? Like, so there's like definitely a difference in the treatment approach. It's very comfortable. And there's a conversation. I always say, you'd be surprised how many conversations you have with a finger in your vagina, you know? So, right. We talk about everything, you know, and it's much more comfortable, but it's just trying to get the patient. It's getting the patient in the room first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, Abigail, do you feel like have you ever done referrals where people are like, oh no, no, that's not for me?
I guess I would answer that a slightly different way. I think typically when I refer to pelvic PT, people are quite open to it. What I find more often is that when people walk into my office for the first time, they are really nervous and they're shifting around uncomfortably and they're really scared about talking about really intimate topics around which they have a lot of shame. Mm-hmm. And it's actually remarkable to me how quickly that fear and nervousness melts away if you can just kind of broadcast that talking about this stuff is completely fine and ordinary and totally comfortable. It's amazing.
Modeling behavior, right? Modeling the behavior for people of zero judgment.
Yep. And so within 5 to 10 minutes, somebody who was sort of wriggling in their chair uncomfortably when they walk through the door is all of a sudden talking away and saying what they need to say and sharing what's uncomfortable and what their concerns are.
I mean, go ahead, Christy.
Oh, I was just going to say, and this is why we need people to see Abigail before they come see us. You know, it really makes a big difference.
Well, this team approach, I think, you know, makes perfect sense too. Because I feel like, again, like people are, why is it 2020 and people are just figuring out that the mind and body are connected? I don't know, but they are. And in many cases, issues around sexuality, there isn't just one component. I mean, if I've learned anything in 2 decades of doing this work, it's like, it's not just one thing. It's not one pill. It's not one position. It's not one toy. It's not one word. Like it's really much more complex than that. And so in some ways, a kind of a team approach where you're seeing a therapist and you're seeing a PT, it seems like it would make the most sense and you'd have the most progress.
Yep.
Totally. Definitely. Yep. Totally agree.
So I'm glad that you're out there doing this great work. I really am. Okay. So we haven't told you where they work, except they work in Providence. So do your homework if you're near Providence, people, and you can find them. Okay. I'll tell you their names on social media. That's all. I want to thank you. I want to thank you for doing this really important work. And I want to thank you for spending this hour with me and my listeners and telling us all about it, because I really do feel like if we can get more folks talking about this, touching their own bodies, getting these kinds of holistic therapies where the first line of defense is not necessarily hormonal, is not necessarily pharmaceutical, it really can change the landscape. So thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Total pleasure to be here.
So I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible. Executive producer Karen Dana, senior producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Andrew, my engineer, everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern for another edition of the show. Until then, you can catch me across all social media platforms at Tristan Taramino. The show is on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio. And in the meantime, I know you know someone, if not just yourself, who might benefit from having a consultation with a pelvic floor health physical therapist. So do your research, folks. Find one in your area or spread the word to other people you know who could use one. Till next time.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.
Thanks again for listening to